As far as you know, this is water. In 1965, the Rolling Stones sang to the world an anthem of the ages. I can't get no satisfaction. I try and I try and I try and I try. I can't get no satisfaction. We know what they mean. We know people who sing that song. We've likely even sung it ourselves. Paul had even sung that tune as well. But he said over time, he learned contentment. Even in our abundance, we are tempted to focus our attention and energies toward the things that we don't have rather than toward the gifts that we do have. We would do well to stop and reflect often on the gifts that are in our lives and be grateful for them. For gratitude helps us live more grounded lives. Thanksgiving leads to contentment and, in turn, generosity. If you watch carefully the lives of those who have learned to live joyfully, despite the fact that their lives turned out in ways they never would have planned, one of the virtues they all seem to share is a quiet sense of contentment. Now, when we talk about contentment, we must be careful, because there are plenty of circumstances with which no one should be content. There are wrongs in the world to be righted, injustices to be confronted. There are situations that cannot be endured and evils that must not be tolerated. There are habits to be conquered, addictions to be battled, callings to be followed, remedies to be sought, cycles to be broken. I don't think Paul is advocating the kind of contentment that lapses into complacency. I think Paul is calling us to the kind of contentment that comes to terms with the things that cannot be changed. The kind of contentment that looks at life as it is and says, I may wish I had a different life, but I don't. I may wish life had given me a different kind of mind or body or skills or talent, but it didn't. My life is what it is. This is the hand I've been dealt. How can I make the best of it? The greatest obstacle to a life of contentment is desire and want. We always seem to want more than what we have. And there is always something out there that lures us, making us unsatisfied with what is ours, desiring more. Do you ever wish your desires would take a rest? Do you get tired sometimes of a life of discontentment, finding it ever so difficult to be satisfied and content with what you have and where you are in life? I spent time this week reading over this final chapter in Paul's letter to the Philippians, and it seems to me that his words provide something of a roadmap on the path to contentment. Some wisdom stones along the path to guide our way. The first wisdom stone he offers is to stand firm in the Lord. That is, don't try to always control your circumstances. There are things beyond our control. Sometimes we have to let the wind blow where it will. But we can keep our heart planted firmly in the God whose presence never leaves us and whose Spirit promises to guide and keep us. A second wisdom stone is to seek unity in the face of conflict. Discontentment often springs from relationships in conflict. In the very first part of this chapter 4, Paul names two people in the Philippian church who are at odds with each other. And he asks the church to help them resolve their conflict, because contentment cannot flourish in the church where brothers and sisters are at odds with each other or when any relationships are in conflict. If we desire contentment, one of the things we can do is to seek unity and practice those things we know make for peace. A third wisdom stone is to embrace joy wherever we find it. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. Again, I say, rejoice. Instead of looking at life and seeing what we don't have, look at the blessings that are around us and rejoice in them. And for all those circumstances that tie your heart in anxious knots, Paul invites us to pray, to open our soul to the presence of God in our life, and to allow God's peace to fill our heart and our soul. Do not be anxious about anything, he writes, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So wisdom stone number 4 is pray for peace. Wisdom stone number 5 is to focus your thoughts on that which is good and true and beautiful. Thoughts are real and very powerful. They affect the way we act and live. Paul told the Corinthians to bring every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Paul knew the importance of how we think. And he offers guidance here in this letter to let our thoughts dwell on that which is true and honorable and just, whatever is pure and pleasing and commendable. All that is worthy of praise, he says, let your mind dwell on these things. It is interesting how most of us will protect our physical selves. We don't let people, just anyone, touch us. We don't let others push us around or control where we go. Often when it comes to the mind, we are less disciplined. We hand it over willingly to social media, to television, to what other people are doing or thinking or saying. And sometimes we don't even know that we're doing this. There's a new book out that its title caught my attention. The title is, Don't Believe Everything You Think. Good advice. Think on what is good and true and beautiful. Stand firm in the Lord. Seek unity in the midst of conflict. Embrace joy wherever it might be found. Pray for peace. Focus your thoughts on what is good and true and beautiful. Simple enough, right? If it were easy, we all would do it. But even Paul said, contentment was something he had to learn. And wisdom stone number 6 is the anchor that holds all the other stones in place. It is to depend upon the strength of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul had learned that contentment comes from the power and presence of Christ within us. Because it is often that which is hidden that provides the needed strength, that becomes a hidden resource. The most important part of a tree is the part we cannot see, the roots deep beneath the surface. The most important part of our lives, our source of strength and contentment, is not found in what people can see. It's the power of Christ that fills us from within. Christ is our strength, our source of contentment. He is the strength we need to battle our greed. He's the source of contentment when we find ourselves in need. A New Testament scholar was lecturing about happiness. And he said that the word that describes happiness, that best describes happiness for him, is contentment. And he gave the example of his father-in-law at dinner. He would sit, savor every bite of the dish in front of him, never ask for a second helping, push the dish away, sit back and say, "Thank you, God." Contentment. It is a scourge of the human soul to say, "I don't have enough." It is a grace of the human soul to say, "What I have is enough." It doesn't matter how much or little you have. The question always comes, what is enough? Paul says, I learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. Learned how to be abased. I've learned how to abound. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. It is through Christ who strengthens me. Well, there's a 7th and final wisdom stone that helps keep us on the path. And it is this: to lean on the community of faith. Almost the entire part that I read, those final 14 verses, Paul names those in the Philippian church who lean on each other, who help one another, who've made his way possible to do his work. God met his needs through the generosity of others. There's nothing about the Christian life, even learning the lesson of contentment, that we can do alone. We need one another to lean upon and to learn from. We need the wisdom of others. People like author Cheryl Strayed, who reminds us in her book, Tiny Beautiful Things, you don't have a right to the cards you believe you should have been dealt. There is so much of our lives that is out of our control. We don't control the hand we've been dealt. We don't determine the hand we're dealt. Our biology isn't up to us, nor is our place in the world. But we do get to decide how we play the hand we've been dealt. We decide what we do about it. We decide who we become. Not long ago, I ran across a phrase that captures this kind of contentment in a powerful and beautiful way. It was in a collection of spiritual memoirs called Pilgrim Souls. In a chapter on the great poet Emily Dickinson, the editors wrote that Dickinson had learned to be content with the narrow boundaries of her limited life in small town New England because her soul had reached a settlement with her life. Her soul had reached a settlement with her life. She came to terms with her life as it was. The Rolling Stones began this sermon singing in 1965 how they could not get any satisfaction. But somewhere between 1965 and 1969, the Rolling Stones had a Bible study on these words of Paul to the Philippians, which inspired Mick Jagger and Keith Richards to lead the band in singing to the world a different tune that offers this wisdom. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. Of all the resolutions you might make for the next year, how about making one of them? The resolve to be gratefully content with what you have instead of striving for what you want that may very well never be yours. Peace, contentment, comes at its deepest and fullest by resting in the awareness that, in Paul's words, the Lord is near and the God of peace is with us. God stands guard over our hearts and minds with his peace. Peace that promises to run deeper than our fears or anxieties. God is with you. Rest and rejoice. Amen.